Every game is important.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and t-shirts.
That's why Isaac and Suk are ready to predict every NFL game's outcome with their usual laser-like accuracy.
They go so deep.
Football's football.
This is the Fans NFL Challenge, brought to you by Encore Audio Video. The Fans NFL Challenge with Isaac and Suk on 1080.
Cut that meat.
The Fan.
Hey, if you want to go on a pub crawl tonight, Bridgeport Brewing's 10th annual Ebenezer Pub Crawl is rolling through Multnomah Village,
and it starts
here in about an hour.
Oh, well, we got to do this show.
So festivities are at John's Marketplace beginning at 5. That'll be from 5 to 6, and then the pub crawl is from 6 to 9. Who doesn't love a good pub crawl?
Yeah, it's always good times.
And that Ebenezer is a damn good beer.
I'm not a fan of the pedal things, though. You ever done that in Bend? You get on the stupid pedal.
I did one of those here. It was pretty fun.
Was it?
Yeah.
I went on one in Bend, and it was terrible.
I mean, I got absolutely loaded, so pedaling became difficult at the end. But
why was it terrible?
I don't. If I'm going to be heavily drinking, I don't need to be out pedaling while I'm doing it. A pub crawl is way better. Just give me a place to kind of walk around and sit. It's like not everyone's carrying their own weight. I was not a fan of the whole moving cart thing while drinking. At some point, it just became unnecessary.
All right, Mike Lynch is still whipping us in Locks of the Week. He's 8-4. Big Suk 4-8, and I'm 4-7 because I missed 1 week. So that means you're up first there, big fella.
Well, I'm going to go with you in this one in the survival pool. You were deciding where to go with, and I'm going to go Denver Broncos, only giving up 4 because I think the 49ers are warmed over garbage. And I know that Denver is without Sanders, their big deep threat. But I think this is a classic example of one team having something to play for. The Niners don't want to win any more games at this point. It doesn't behoove them. And they're terrible. And I like Denver's defense. Only giving up 4. Give me the Broncos.
I hope that's not my kiss of death.
I know. Because every time I seem to think there's like New Orleans, Dallas, what happens? Not only does Dallas cover, but Dallas wins the damn game.
This league's so stupid.
I know. It's really hard to call.
It's not that stupid. What are you talking about?
Lynch is feeling good.
He's like, oh, it's easy. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, I already picked out a lock. I look at 5 seconds. I got a lock. Philadelphia.
It is true. The second game I saw.
The Eagles are my pick. They are getting 3.5 on the road at Dallas. Look, this game is always a good game. It's going to be a close game. It was a close game the first time, wasn't it?
I have zero feelings about this game one way or another. That would scare the living dickens out of me.
Or didn't Dallas kick their ass? Dallas might have kicked their ass.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, it was 27-20. I think Philly's getting it together, and Dallas is overrated, so I'll take the field goal. Gladly take the field goal plus the hook. Eagles plus 3.5.
My lock of the week this week is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. They were opening up as a 9-point favorite. It's down to 6.5. I'm not really sure why. They're against the Ravens, by the way.
People like Lamar Jackson.
I don't understand why. So I'm going to take the Chiefs in this one. No Kareem Hunt, no problem for them. They've got a great offense. Their defense is good enough, I think, that they're going to blow out Baltimore. I really don't believe in Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense at all. So I'm going to take Kansas City minus 6.5.
People like Baltimore has like a top 6 defense, and everyone's in love with Lamar Jackson right now because he can run around and like plays with his legs.
I don't care if the top 6 defense are not stopping this Chiefs offense.
No, not many people are. They didn't miss Kareem Hunt one bit.
Nope.
I mean, they may eventually down the road against better teams, but it didn't look like that was made any impact last week.
All right, Thursday Night Football, Jacksonville at Tennessee.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
If you're not gambling,
excuse me,
will you watch 1 second of this football game?
Yes.
Oh.
You know why? I'm going to tell you why.
Mariota?
I like Mariota. Are you going to question my fandom?
No.
So now you believe me that I like Mariota, but you don't believe me that I like Alex Smith?
I believe that you have watched Marcus Mariota play on a somewhat regular basis. I do not believe that you have watched more than 8 seconds of Alex Smith football, and neither does Mike Lynch, and quite frankly, the listeners agree.
That's not true. I had a lot of hashtag team rops on the
You had like
text.
Two. Let's not spread.
No, there was
That's
at
such
least,
a Suk move.
There was at least 30.
That is such a Suk move.
So
much support. One
I like
text
Mariota,
came in.
But let me ask you this. Okay, so which
is
better?
This is going to be a bad Thursday night.
So here's your sports for tonight. You've got Tennessee, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
But you've also got Blazers, Suns.
God.
So I'm not watching that crap.
No. Jags, Titans.
So I will be watching Jags, Titans.
Or you could choose to learn about the Food Network tonight, Rob.
Yeah, if you've seen.
I got Narcos Season 4 cranked up on Netflix.
You have Amazon, right?
Yeah.
Give Mr. Robot, I'm telling you. give it a crack.
I got to get through Narcos first.
And you don't even need to do the whole give it 3-4 episodes. Watch the first 15 minutes of Mr. Robot and you will be hooked. 15 minutes.
Is that the show with the guy who played Freddie Mercury?
Yes.
Okay.
15 minutes in and you will be hooked. Best thing I've seen in a while.
All right, here's a stat for you. Since 2000, only 5 quarterbacks have a quarterback rating over 100 in primetime games. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and better than them all, with a quarterback rating of 106.
In primetime?
Primetime. Marcus Mariota.
He is really strange in that I saw an article not too long ago where it talked about stats with the way football is being played right now, completion percentage and quarterback ratings. Stats can be very misleading. Some people say this about Alex Smith, by the way, that and Mariota gets some of this, even though his stats aren't necessarily always the best, that sometimes in these offenses, stats can be very misleading, that on paper, it tells you one story, and then when you watch it with your eyes, it tells you a complete different one. And I'm not saying that Mariota is bad. Far from it. He just is a very complex guy.
His stats are often better than he appeared to play.
Yes. Like, the eye tells you one thing, and then the stats, you're like, well, that's different. And someone pointed out, like, in that the game where he was, what, he was, like, 21 of 22 or whatever, he only completed, like, 3 first downs in any of those passes. Like, he's the ultimate line for me where I can't decide whether or not he's a good quarterback. He's not a bad one, but I don't know if he's good. He's often injured. He's very inconsistent. He has huge duds of performances at times.
See, that line to me was Alex Smith.
And yeah, there's a little bit of that. See, I think Alex Smith is better than Mariota. Like, to me, that's not even a debate.
Uh-huh, in your face.
I think Alex Smith is a very solid quarterback. Mariota, I don't know what to make of it. And they got to make a decision on that fifth-year extension, and you extend him, but you don't extend him to the tune of $25 million a year.
So the Titans won the first meeting in a whopper 9-6.
And that's what I'm saying. On Thursday night at this point, in the way Jacksonville's defense has been playing, this one smells like 6-3.
Yeah, it might, but, you know, it's probably 6-0 because Jacksonville's offense lost. I mean, they beat Indy last week, but lost in that was how crappy their offense looks because they've got Cody Kessler back there now.
Wasn't it 6-0?
It was 6-0.
It was 6-0. Yeah.
Jacksonville sucks. So I'm going to go Tennessee tonight. I think they win
3-0.
Six nothing.
They can load the box against Fournette, the only good option for the Jags. And then what is Cody Kessler going to do?
He's going to ball out is what he's going to do.
Yeah, he's going to start throwing over the top.
Just get out and slinging it Cody Kessler style.
It's a stupid NFL. Tomorrow he'll have 550 yards passing and we'll be talking about it like, what the hell? Where did that come from?
Would it shock anyone?
Stupid league.
If Kessler throws for 340 and 3 touchdowns tonight?
Yes.
I'd be like this. Yeah, it's Nick Mullins.
It would shock me.
Oh, I'd be like, yeah, that's the NFL. And then the week after that, you're like, well, maybe he's good. No, he's not.
I'm going to amend my score. So it's not going to be 6-0. Yeah. It's going to be 76-70.
Shootout style.
Tennessee.
All right.
Baltimore at Kansas City.
Yeah, well, this is the one old Michael Lynch likes in a blowout. I think the Ravens are pretenders. And what are they, 7-5, and they've caught some heat 3 in a row with Lamar Jackson. But I would like to point out that those 3 wins are against Cincinnati, the Raiders, and the Falcons. And he can't throw the ball. He just runs around.
Throw the ball.
He can't at all. And Kansas City actually has some athletes on the defense. It's not great, but they can rush the quarterback a little bit, and he's already been dinged up a little bit. The Lamar Jackson love train is going to come to an end pretty quick here.
It's a love train?
It is a love train.
I don't understand it.
He cannot throw a football, but he's a great dynamic athlete. You're running a kind of a bastardized version of the Wildcat, and I'm with Mike on this one. I think the wheels come off against Kansas City.
You know, the Chiefs haven't covered in 3 weeks.
Really?
Really.
And we're going to cover now. Let's go.
What's the spread here?
9-4, baby.
6.5.
Yeah, don't. If Mike says it, it's going to happen. Dude's a gambling cover machine.
Indy at Houston.
I don't know what to make of. Like, everyone thought Indy had kind of turned a corner. And then they go out and get shut out against Jacksonville. That thing is absolutely bizarre. But you've got 6-6 Indy. You know, this is one of those playing for your life. Right, and the Houston Texans haven't seemingly lost in, what, 2 months? Are they, they've won 9 in a row?
9 straight. It's a lot.
You know,
straight.
And that first one they played was close. I think it was within a field goal. But you know, until someone knocks off Houston, you know, give me the Texans. Keep rolling.
Yeah, Houston's interesting because they've won 9 in a row, but nobody thinks they're like really that good.
No.
We're not ready to buy into it yet. So this could be a really good game because Indy's going to come back firing.
Well, this is their life, right?
And Houston beat them in the first meeting too.
By a field goal. This is their season. If they lose here, they can be out. So you are going to get absolutely the best effort of the Colts.
By the way, Houston Texans, fun nugget. Name their running back. They're a top three rushing team.
Lamar Miller.
Yeah. Well, he's right.
Yeah, I know. But isn't there another one? Don't they go? Is he just the only guy?
It's just Lamar Miller. I mean, they've got Alfred Blue, and they've got Deontay Foreman is back, too. But
Carolina at Cleveland. Cam Newton banged up.
Well, hasn't Houston won 9 in a row, too?
Yeah, 9 in a row.
That's crazy.
Lost their first three, reeled off 9 in a row. Carolina's done. Firing people on their staff. Cam Newton's shoulder doesn't look right. Olsen out for the year. They're just, I think they're cooked. I believed in Carolina, but everything kind of went down when they got thumped by the Steelers. What was that, a month ago? And they haven't looked the same since.
Newton says he's going to play. The Browns lost last week, but they won 2 in a row prior to that. Baker Mayfield's played better with Greg Williams.
Wouldn't shock me if they beat Carolina here. I just think Carolina is in a really, really bad spot. Lost to the Steelers, Seahawks, Buccaneers. Who else? Lions mixed in there. I mean, it's a cavalcade of errors.
And then Atlanta's at Green Bay. No one knows what to make of the Packers.
Well, is there two?
But Atlanta's 4-8.
That's what I was gonna say. Is there two bigger disappointments in the NFL this year than Atlanta and Green Bay?
Man.
I mean, if you were putting together power rankings at the start of the year, Atlanta and Green Bay both would have been up there, and they're both out of the playoffs.
Atlanta's lost 4 in a row.
Well, some of Atlanta's stuff is injuries. I mean, remember the start of the year, they were just decimated.
They had four starting all-pro defenders out for the year.
Yeah, go out, but that's – and then Green Bay, you see they fired their offensive – or their outside linebackers coach.
For his tweets?
Yeah, he tweeted. He pulled a rap. Tweeted about leadership and someone holding an Aaron Rodgers accountable, and then they canned him. It was a Winston Moss. They gave him the heave-o.
I think sometimes when you fire your coach and you have an interim coach, it rallies the troops. But in this instance – I don't think the coach was really the problem. The problem is more a Rodgers' attitude and like a fractured locker room. So I'm going to go on Atlanta here.
Did you see that they gave McCarthy a standing ovation?
Who did?
Well, the Packers. I guess he came back in to, you know, gather stuff, clean out his office or whatever. And the players, I don't know about Aaron Rodgers, but they said they gave him a standing ovation. Hmm. But clearly, people aren't pissed at him.
All right, it's a pretty big week. We've got Rams, Bears to talk about, Eagles, Cowboys, Vikings, Seahawks, all coming up. It's our NFL Challenge on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, in the news coming up next, crazy guy alert. What else is going on? Oh, the Cherry Powell, bro. Up on the hill.
Time to shred.
And I don't just mean OHSU.
What?
What?
What? Huh? I said up on the hill, the cherry pow bra.
Yeah.
And then there. And I don't just up on the hill. I don't just mean OHSU.
What?
That's the hill.
Didn't quite.
There ain't no cherry pow up there, bro.
Did I miss something?
What? Why are you making a triangle with your hand?
That's the hill. That's the mountain. That's where the cherry pow pow is.
Wouldn't a hill be more like?
Yeah, I guess maybe rounded at the top. Can you have a pointy hill?
If you make flat, it'll be a butte.
Yeah. I love a good butte.
Do you?
Yeah.
A black butte?
Big butte guy.
Although the butte.
The black butte is not quite flat. I mean, it's pretty rounded.
Well, what's the difference between a butte and a hill? At what point does the hill become a butte and vice versa? Is it a curvature thing?
I don't know. I thought it was, but I don't know.
What about a plateau? Where does that come into play?
A butte, an isolated hill with steep sides and a flat top. That's right.
It's all right.
Bam.
But if you look at Black Butte, though,
you
don't really see the flat top, but you can, you know.
You feel like it's
if
more.
If you go to the top of Black Butte, does it appear flat?
Yeah, you can go up there and shuffleboard.
Feel like it's more of a hill. The nature shuffleboard. What is that, the lawn bowling, bocce ball?
Ooh, Atlanta. I love a good game of bocce ball.
Who doesn't? Bocce ball's great.
Yeah.
New Orleans at Tampa Bay.
New Orleans, first loss of the year was Tampa Bay.
Yeah, this is revenge.
Is Tampa Bay
no
flirting with being halfway decent?
Stop it.
No?
Don't be ridiculous.
What are you saying?
Why? Why?
They've changed their quarterback 9 times.
And their 2 wins.
Same 2 guys.
They've won 2 in a row, and their 2 wins were over the Niners and the Panthers.
Hey, look out for the Bucs and Jameis Winston. So we're assuming somewhere in the second quarter, Ryan Fitzpatrick will get put back in.
So Winston's their quarterback now?
Winston's back to being their quarterback.
For the 3rd time.
Yeah, New Orleans, that was the first game of the year. A lot of people got booted from their survivor pools.
Was it 48-45?
Yeah, that was when Fitzpatrick was throwing like every week for 400-plus yards.
48-40. Final score of that game. Jets, Bills, Buffalo. Darnold is back.
I am going to go ahead and make a declaration that not one of us, not one, will watch 1 second of this football game.
No. Nope. That one will not be turned to.
My TV will be allergic to that
Skip
football
right
game.
Over it. New England is at Miami.
This is actually kind of interesting because, one, New England needs playoff seeding.
Oh, look at you.
And my 6-6 Dolphins have played Tom Brady and company tough at home.
Tannehill's back, so, you know.
I'm just saying, keep an eye on this one.
Time to go. You
know? And the Dolphins in the mix. You know, they should have beat the Colts the other week. I don't know how they managed to gack that one away.
Because they suck.
No, they're in the playoff mix. I'm going to watch this. Go Dolphins. But yes, New England will be just fine.
That's Sunday night. Giants at Redskins. And unfortunately, Alex Smith is out.
And so is Colt McCoy.
So is Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy is out. It's Mark Sanchez.
The butt fumble recovery.
And the Giants are actually playing better. They've won 3 out of 4.
Is he the only man in the history of the NFL to have a butt fumble and a butt fumble recovery?
Oh, there's no question.
Yes.
I mean, that's like a rare duo right there. And yeah, the Giants are actually playing better, and they could have beat the Eagles. They should have beat the Eagles.
They completely blew that game.
I will not be watching.
Yeah. Isaac.
Thank you. I will not watch this game. One bit of it.
I think the spread is only 3, and so I may lay a sawbuck down on the Giants because the Redskins are falling apart.
What if it's 3.5, though? It looks like it's 3.5.
Oh, it's a 3.5?
That's
tough.
I
feel like I'll give you the hook on that. The Redskins, Mark Sanchez is not leading them to any sort of glory. And you're right, the Giants have been playing better.
Now, guys, let me paint you a picture real quick. Because you just said you were not going to watch the Jets-Bills game and you were not going to watch the Giants and Redskins, correct?
This is correct.
Yeah. When I went back to Jersey for Thanksgiving, my parents do not have Red Zone. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they don't have DirecTV.
Wow.
So do you know what
times
games are on?
Oh, the Jets.
The Giants, the Jets, and the Bills all the time.
Oh, man.
That is the game that the New York region gets in the NFL every week in every time slot. And I was forced to watch the Giants and the Jets.
I'm so sorry.
What's the matter with your parents?
They don't watch the NFL.
Why not?
Sorry, go back. You guys have Red Zone, right? Nope.
No.
All right, guess I'm watching this random Giants game. Okay.
We had some of that when we were, like, growing up, you know, before any of that. We'd be forced to watch bad Seahawks games, or you'd get, like, Bay Area games. You'd get stuck with the Raiders, the Chargers, and meanwhile, there'd be a big national game on, and you're like, what the F? And some people that don't have would always complain they'd get Titan games with Mariota. But most people now have at least the ability to watch the Red Zone, and you're not stuck watching a crappy game you don't want.
Denver at San Francisco.
Denver.
My Broncos.
Our
Broncos.
We're all collectively.
We all have something. So Mike's a Bronco fan. I've got them in the Survivor Pool.
I'm laying
and
money on this.
You're going to bet on them.
I'm going to bet on this one.
Let's go Broncos.
Yes.
Case Keenum.
And Mike Fantasy Football has both Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman.
Yeah, Philip Lindsay, man. That
I've
guy's
got
awesome.
Every one of my players is hurt in a must-win game, so I'm playing both Lindsay and Royce Freeman, so I need them to run for like 400 yards combined.
San Francisco's given up, right?
Yes.
Right? San Francisco won't win this game, right?
Yes. The only game they've won is against the Raiders, and that was when the Raiders wanted to lose more than the 49ers.
Okay.
I feel better. You'll be all right.
Okay. Cincinnati is at... Oh, they're at the Chargers.
Yeah. Superchargers.
You watch Driscoll yet?
I have not seen the magic that is Jeff Driscoll other than in highlights because Cincinnati has lost, 5 in a row? And they don't matter.
You know the Bengals were 4-1?
Yeah. Oh, I remember they were 4-1. And even after they lost a close one to the Steelers. And I think they got blown out by
the Chiefs.
And there was still this thought of, you know, they can kind of reap. No.
They were 5-3.
The wheels have come off.
Yeah, lost 5 in a row. The Chargers looking pretty good. Detroit is at Arizona. Here's another game I probably won't watch, although I like Detroit here. They're better than Arizona.
Well, yeah, it's like a 10.5 point spread.
Yeah, but Detroit is not.
No. The spread is 3.
And
no.
Detroit kind of sucks.
Yes. Detroit is favored by 3.
They lost their starting running back. They traded away one of their receivers. They also lost their other receiver for the IR. So Kenny Golladay is the only receiver they have.
Yeah, but they're better than Arizona.
Are they, though?
Yes, they are. The Cardinals stink. I can't believe it's that low. I thought it was higher than
that. Watch the Cardinals win that game.
Remember the last three games? Let's go last six.
The Colorado Rockies?
No, wait. Okay, so Detroit was 3-3, right?
Yeah.
Their last six games have been against the Seahawks, Vikings, Bears, Panthers, Bears, and Rams.
Goes to show you how much schedule matters,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that is tough. And they did win one. They beat Carolina. So Detroit, you know, they get a cupcake like Arizona. They should beat them by double digits.
That is interesting. Is that the toughest six-game stretch we've seen in the NFL this
year? Not easy. And then before that, they played the Patriots, Cowboys, Packers. They had the
They beat the Patriots this year, didn't they? Wasn't that one of the wins at the start of the year?
Yeah, they beat them. Beat them handily. Yeah, but they, you know, lost to the Jets and the Niners. Isn't that weird? Yeah. They're weird.
Welcome to the NFL.
Steve Smith just picked the Jaguars to win 9-6.
Thursday Night Football. It's fantastic.
Let's see. Three more games. Philadelphia at Dallas.
That's probably your game of the week, and that's for first place in the East.
Love that rivalry.
And, you know,
game.
It is a good game, and Philly's playing better. This is one that I think if Dallas wins, one, they take a stranglehold on that division. And you have to take them seriously after beating New Orleans. But I think this one goes a long way to validating that for people, right? You've beaten the Eagles, Falcons, Redskins, and it was like, you know, and then here comes the Saints, and you play a great defensive effort, although the offense doesn't look that great. You beat Philly now. If you beat them here, that'd be both wins over Philadelphia. Like I said, stranglehold in that division with a very manageable schedule from there on out. You would have the Colts and the Buccaneers to finish it up. Maybe some real momentum going into the postseason for Dallas, because I ask you the question, do you think Dallas is a legit contender right now?
No.
Yeah.
I've never thought they were.
Yeah, it's a weird place to be in for them.
Pittsburgh at Oakland.
Whatever. The Raiders.
Sunday night.
Throw them into the conversation. I don't know who is the biggest disappointment. Jags, Raiders, Niners.
The Jags.
For Gruden's first season, did anyone see this? Like a complete teardown and then the team just quitting on him?
Yeah, it's brutal. Rams, Bears, good game Sunday night. That's in Chicago.
Yeah, this is going to
be a really good game.
Trubisky's
going to play.
That's the game of the week for me right there.
Yeah, I mean, I said maybe with Dallas because first place on the line, but with Trubisky being healthy again, maybe, you know, in Chicago, although the playoff would be in L.A., but this is maybe one that you can see in an NFC title game.
I hope we see this game turn into a bit of a shootout like we've seen with the Rams in primetime this year. Get like a 42-38 game or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think the Bears want anything to do with trying to play a shootout with them. I think the Bears are trying to go ground control, keep it out of the Rams' hands, and hopefully your defense can come up with a couple big stops.
Are we to believe that the Bears' offense is good? Because they put up points.
Yeah.
They do put up points.
But they don't, when you watch them, it's like,
this is like
they don't seem good.
This sometimes is what we talk about, that stats don't always tell you what the eyes do. I think the Bears offense is better than we thought it was going to be. I don't think it's elite, but when you have a defense like that, you don't always need an elite offense. And I think their defense puts them in good positions with short fields and turnovers.
And I think Tarik Cohen is the most underrated player in the NFL. Yeah. He is so good. Yeah. And no one knows who he is.
Vikings, Seahawks, Monday night. Here on The Fan, by the way.
Huge game. Huge. I mean, for both squads, but especially for Minnesota, right? If you look at Seattle sitting there at 7-6, but they win this, and I think the Seahawks are in. You win this game, and you're in the postseason. You lose it, it's not like you're exactly out, but this is probably it for Minnesota. They have to win this. I don't think Minnesota can go to 6-6-1 and be okay.
I got Minnesota in this one.
Do you?
Yeah, I think they snapped Seahawks streak.
Give me the Hawks. Love the way the Hawks are playing right now.
All right, that is your NFL challenge. It is brought to you each week by Encore Audio Video. let's get to In the News coming up next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter. All right, coming up, the Hot 5 at 5, sports news. Jason Quick, our Blazers insider at 5:30. Let's talk about what the hell's going on with those guys.
Hey, it's
going
to be a big win tonight.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the Suns, and I think Booker's out. So, yeah, even if Booker's playing, that's a win.
CJ is also out.
Does it really matter? It's the Suns. What have they won, 3-4 games?
They need CJ's defense.
They're 4-20, Blaze it.
Oh, there you go, 4-20. Yeah, it's a big win.
That was the douchiest thing Mike's done in weeks.
Blaze it. Well, Mike's our resident weed guy. Look at him.
He doesn't smoke weed. Do you smoke weed, Mike?
No.
Yeah, see, I didn't think so. Mike's a straight narrow kind of guy.
No. I don't smoke weed.
Oh,
he does the edibles.
He's an are you a vape man?
No.
All right.
Mike's into psychedelics.
It is December 6, 2018. Time for the news. I'm your noted newsman. It is National Microwave Oven Day.
Oh, all right. So go home and microwave something. I don't microwave that much anymore. Unless I'm reheating something. Try to avoid food that...
Look at you, Mr. Fancy Pants over here.
Well, I'm trying to avoid food that I have to microwave. Like, that's the heating instructions for it. Like, that's probably not the best thing for you if you're like cooking and you're like, yeah, I'll just throw that in the microwave. But reheating, absolutely.
Well, I believe that microwaves are giving us all cancer, so I never use my microwave.
Are you one of those guys? You, like, not stand in front of it? Like, cover your crotch?
It is also National Pawnbroker's Day.
Oh, all right.
So, shout out to all you pawnbrokers out there.
Lucky Loan in Vancouver. Love those guys.
So, the cherry pow-pow bra. It's that time of year.
You're going to get out and shred? When's the last time you skied?
Ooh.
Do you own skis?
No.
No.
I rent them.
I figure at some point you were a ski man. I can see that
skiing.
Out of you.
Oh, my God. Skiing used to be... Now I'm a golfer. Skiing used to be my favorite thing to do.
Really?
And you may say, well...
Kansas.
Growing up in Kansas, but we would go to Colorado and ski quite often and loved it. But now I find it to be a hassle.
It's a lot. It's an entire...
I have fun doing it when I get up there, but...
Yeah, we've talked about this. The same thing with like surfing, right? It's a real commitment. It's not something you just do for an hour or two.
So the pow-pow is on the way, brah. Highest lifts at Mount Hood Meadows and Timberline were open yesterday, so...
Global warming my ass.
It has begun. And then nothing yet at Ski Bowl, but more snow is expected this weekend. So the bases are pretty low, but you can ski and snowboard if you're jonesing.
If you're jonesing for a little fresh pow-pow, there you go.
Primetime Southern Oregon... We have a crazy guy alert. Okay.
I'm ready.
The Oregon Court of Appeals yesterday reversed a Southern Oregon judge's decision to commit a man to the state psychiatric hospital and revoke his gun ownership rights after he'd threatened to kill strangers who he believed were watching him through power lines and robotic birds.
Now, when you say through power lines, you mean the power lines were watching him or people were just peeking through the power lines to see him?
I feel like he thinks people are peeking through the power lines.
I see.
That's what I'm interpreting there.
What?
And so we've rearmed.
Wouldn't it be clear that there's someone peeking through the power lines?
Wait, what?
Yeah, I feel like that's not.
Like, it's not like.
Yeah, it's not really a good place to hide. That's right. Like the Scooby-Doo sort of hide where you're like behind the light pole, but it doesn't really work.
But what if they're many miles away looking all the way down the power line?
Then why would you look through the
power? So wait, are they in the air looking through the power lines down to him?
I feel like he believes.
Power lines are not a ground level.
Maybe we should get this guy on.
I feel like we should. I feel like people are misreading this. He believes that the power lines are watching him. That there may be
that
some...
That they're alive.
That they're alive.
That when you hear that faint buzzing sound, that means that they're activated?
That's someone in there watching him. It's the government.
You ever had a run-in with a power line?
What?
Like gotten buzzed?
No.
Or anything?
No. Really?
What? Yeah, really.
I'm not...
You ever had a run-in with a power line?
Yeah, who has a run-in with
like
a power line?
Like all of a sudden the power line drops down and starts, hey, I'm going to fight you.
You know, as kids, you climb trees and stuff or like...
I will
know.
Tell you that when you were a kid, I've made this comment many times, that when you were a child, they often made things... You were made to believe that things in your adult life would be way more impactful than they were, and down power lines were one of those things. right? When you were a kid, I remember like every year they'd do like PSAs. You'd have a school assembly about down power lines. Like, don't touch them. Like, you're going to be walking down the street. Like, I didn't, like, when I was in the fourth grade, I just assumed that everywhere I went as an adult, there'd be a down power line. And I'd have to, like, pitfall it, like, jump over the
top
of it.
And there'd be a puddle of water under it, of course.
Yes. I've never seen it. I've never come across
middle
a down
summer, sunny
power
day.
Line in my life. Same thing with, like, quicksand when you were little, right? You're like, oh, quicksand. Like, every video game I ever played, there's quicksand. You never run into that.
No.
But when you're a kid, they like, fearmonger you into the whole down power line thing. No, I've never had an encounter with one. Also, when I was a kid, you know, sometimes...
Never, like, trimming trees or anything?
No.
Or...
You know the support lines? Like, the attached to the power lines and they attach to the ground? And they
yeah.
Have, like, the... When I was
I had some of those in my front yard at my old house.
When I was a kid, I was terrified that those were, like, live power lines and that if I touched one, that I'd be, like, electrocuted. I remember, like, riding around on my big wheel and, like, I was so fear-mongered from power lines. I was like, well... That must be it. That must be the down power lines they're talking about. You better stay away from them.
So, the man's case illustrates Oregon's high legal bar for forcing people with mental illness into receiving treatment and forbidding them from having guns. And the case highlights battling ideologies. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
One argues that people who have been diagnosed with mental illness and have threatened to kill others should be sent to the state hospital for involuntary treatment for up to 180 days. The other argues that forcing vulnerable people to receive treatment without significant evidence they're truly a danger violates the civil liberties, violates their civil liberties, and can have devastating effects on them.
Can we kind of find a middle ground and maybe not commit them, but take away guns? Is that like, no?
Don't be a jerk.
Like a logical sort of thing, because you may be crazy. And you have threatened to kill people, so maybe we just kind of do the sensible thing and not let you have a weapon
you know
of mass
what, man?
Destruction.
Can I just stick my neck out on this one?
Yeah, go for it.
Mentalist institutions, you know, yeah. Like the idea. I understand why they went away, you know, kind of got rid of those.
Sure.
You know, inhumane or this or that. I think they need to bring those back, man.
It's a real issue. I saw a documentary, I think it was on Netflix, and it was heartbreaking because there were parents that wanted to commit their children. They had like teenagers that were violent and that they were really afraid of. And like they would try to get them some mental help. And at times there'd be like in the entire state, there'd be like 30 or maybe 35 beds for, you know, these sorts of mental health cases. And it'd be like, well, we'll put you on a list and...
Yeah,
I don't know, maybe in 8 to 12 months, maybe something comes up. And meanwhile, you've got a ticking time bomb sitting at home and the parents can't do anything about it.
So I guess the question is, like, how do you know which ones are ticking time bombs and which ones can just manage? You know, like, you don't know. That's the hard part here is, like, this guy's quoted in here as saying, in a case like this, the state is seeking to put someone in a hospital room, which can look a lot like a jail cell, locked doors, bars over windows, not because they actually have hurt someone, but because the state is predicting that they will hurt someone in the future.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a hard one.
Oh, man, I just remember watching that documentary, and it was heartbreaking. There's also a really good essay that you can find online. Is it Dylan Klebold, the guy that one of the Columbine?
Yes.
And it was from a lady, not... It wasn't his mom. The title of the article is "I'm Dylan Klebold's Mom," and she writes about her son and how violent her son is and how terrified she is of her son, that he's going to be the next school shooter or do something like that. And it documents all the steps she's taken to try to find her son mental health. And she isn't poor. She's not on a welfare or anything like that. She has a real job with real insurance. And it just goes through and she diagrams what it's like to have a child with these sort of mental health issues and how difficult it is to try to get help even when you have money, resources, and insurance. And at the end of it, she goes, can you imagine what it's like for the people that don't have access to this sorts of care, which is the vast majority of people?
So this guy is a schizophrenic, and a supervisor at a mental health clinic that he was at was worried that he would act on his delusions to kill or hang strangers who he thought were members of the mafia. But the court said he doesn't have the physical strength to hang people, and they say he doesn't have the means to acquire a gun, so they're like, no. See, so, to me, he sounds like, dude, this guy's dangerous.
Yes.
You know,
and
but,
this is the sort of one, too, that doesn't always sound like when something happens, we're like, how did anyone miss the signs? Jesus.
Yeah. JP's encounters with the mental health system began after his mother became gravely concerned when she sent her photos he took of a man at a bus stop and people in cars because he thought they were monitoring him. He also said he thought the roofers working on the house across the street from his grown daughter's home were in on it. Within a few weeks, he called his mother and announced he was ready to act. He said, I'm ready to get these people, whatever means necessary.
Boy.
I need to do this today. He added, I don't care how I have to do it. I'll kill them. I'll hang them. I'll do whatever I have to do. I need to deal with this.
So he can have a gun. Even though
that
he, doesn't,
man, yes.
he doesn't have the means to get one, but if he did,
yes,
we're good. All right.
Reasonable people have decided that that man should be allowed
cool
to have a gun.
Cool rules, everybody.
And not
cool
get
rules.
Mental health treatment.
Thumbs up. That's terrifying.
All right, coming up next on In the News. Waiting for notes here on Sports Talk.
Oh, would you like me to contribute? Because I've got a couple.
Oh, sure, yeah. Because my... I'm just waiting on my notes here. It's slow.
You see what's getting torn down in the name of housing, right? A Portland landmark.
Oh, the strip club? I've never been to that one.
It's going away.
What's it called?
Well, it used to be the Sugar Shack.
Yeah. Sugar Shack. Yeah, I've never been there.
Someone's going to be living in affordable housing where the Sugar Shack once stood.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's fantastic.
We'll talk about that. And then also this American Airlines story. Now, have you been reading about that where they... American Airlines was accused of leaving the old lady in the wheelchair overnight.
I did see that.
Yeah, not so fast on that.
Turns out it's a little, not so fast.
A little different. 446 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is In the News. Hot 5 at 5 coming up in 10 minutes. The Sugar Shack is going away.
Yeah, it's no more. I don't know where we're going to get our prostitution now, but apparently some affordable housing is going up.
That dude who was running a prostitution ring out of there?
Yeah, well, he had like 10.
He was like 75 years old.
Yeah, have you seen like a photo of him?
No.
It's something. I just saw it the other... I was reading the article, but he's facing... federal prostitution and tax evasion charges. He was running a huge prostitution ring out of 10 strip clubs and a bunch of adult video stores.
Yeah, never paid taxes on the money.
No, Lawrence George Owen was the dude's name. And so I guess I love how like these are our landmarks in Portland. Like they're like, landmark, the infamous Sugar Shack coming down in Portland. And they're going to build apparently pink affordable housing. At least in the artist rendition, it's like a big pink condo building. Which I find to be a little tone deaf that you're building on top of the Sugar Shack, a former strip club / prostitution den, and you're putting a big pink building up. And I also don't know whether or not that's going to be affordable or not. I think affordable housing in Portland, maybe not the two things that go hand in hand.
I'm not exactly sure where that is, and that is not one that I never went in there.
Sure.
I've been to a lot of them. That's one that I never really even heard of.
I had a buddy of mine, let's just say he told tales of the Sugar Shack.
And was it a good one?
Well,
or a bad one?
I think it was known for one thing and one thing only.
Oh, so, oh.
Yes. Yes. Oh. Well, there was a reason why he was indicted on federal charges.
But that was going on at Stars, too, the Stars Beaverton one. And, you know, I've been in there, and you would never know it.
Oh. No, apparently...
that was going on with underage girls.
Yeah.
Stars.
That was...
bad news, man.
Well, I think it's all bad news, but especially with the underage...
All of it.
Yeah, that's no good. But you always have that one friend that's like a real degenerate, like more so than just... It's... He's a friend, but he's on the outskirts because of that. You have to keep him at arm's length. He was a Sugar Shack guy and would proclaim the...
Sugar Shack.
The fun times that could be had at the Sugar Shack.
Hey.
Well, now fun times can be had with affordable housing, and they've got a little artist rendition there, and you're going to pedal your bike up to it, and it's very bright and happy.
That's what we need, more apartments.
More apartments.
We do need that.
I guess a bunch of like community groups got together and bought it for $2.3 million. They bought the Sugar Shack and tore it down and are going to build the affordable units.
So American Airlines says security video footage proves that a woman in a wheelchair was not left alone overnight in Chicago's O'Hare Airport.
Yeah, they were getting murdered for this.
They were.
And anytime an airline gets accused of something now, everyone's like, yeah, they did that.
Oh, yeah, we pile on.
Yeah,
we
pile on. Oh, yeah, you did that.
Finally, American Airlines is going down. No, I guess they went through the surveillance video. Now, her name is Olympia. She's a 67-year-old woman. She has Parkinson's, diabetes, and she has difficulty communicating. And she was flying from Chicago to Detroit on November 30th. And she was going there for a funeral. And her flight was canceled, and family members said that she sat alone in her wheelchair and was unattended.
And they even had, like, a little photo of her, and I don't know if it was, like, from another time, but there was a photo that came along with it, just, like, sitting in the corner, slumped over in her chair.
Yeah, her son said that it was for, like, over 5 hours until a relative came to pick her up,
yeah.
And he said he found her in a dark hallway near a restroom, and apparently another passenger had taken her there because that's what she requested, so... an American Airlines spokesman previously said, oh, you know, the typical, hey, we're looking into this. And
we're taking this seriously.
This is horrible. We're taking steps to make sure this never happens. Well, they go through the surveillance footage, and they found that the timeline shows approximately 45 minutes elapsed between the time the wheelchair attendant left the old woman and her relative came to pick her up.
Yeah.
It was only 45 minutes, which is kind of a long time, but I don't know where the wheelchair attendant went. But it's not nearly as bad as they proclaimed.
No, and look, I'm also gonna say this: like, have you seen? Have you seen the photos of the lady?
Here's the best part of the story.
She doesn't necessarily look.
Well, she has Parkinson's. So.
Well, I guess that's true. But she just
in the diabetes. But she got up and went out and had a cigarette.
Yes, that's what I was saying. Like, when you watch the photo, when you look at the photos of her.
Two different occasions they catch her getting up out of the wheelchair and going out and smoking.
And that's my thing. If you look at the photo of her, she doesn't, I'm sure the best, she doesn't look like an invalid. You know, like, if you heard a lady that was stuck for 6 hours in a wheelchair, I was assuming she looked like she had 1 foot in the grave, right? I was picturing just, like, old, decrepit, can't move. I saw an up close of this lady, and you're like, hey, no.
Yeah, that's why it's like sometimes these headlines, you know, they throw in there anything to make, to sort of sensationalize the story,
yeah.
Right? It's, oh, she was in a wheelchair. Well, maybe she was just being pushed around. She doesn't like to, airports can be long walks.
Sure.
She doesn't want to walk that far.
But clearly she can get up and go out she can and go burn out a and heater smoke, down. So smoke, what the hell?
Add to her diabetes.
Exactly. If you can walk out to the smoking area and burn a heater, you can wait 45 minutes for Captain Johnny to come pick you up.
Yeah, so shockingly, no word yet from the family after the airlines released their timeline.
Isn't it great when someone gets busted though? Like, they come up with some sort of huge tale, and then you read the video, and you're like, yeah, that didn't happen.
I can assure you I am not on American Airlines' side. I will back away in this instance, but they suck. Hate them.
Is there any airline, though, that...
Alaska, man. I have never had any problems.
You're pro-Alaska.
Never had any problems. Mm. Ever.
I just feel like all airlines...
I also don't mind Southwest. A lot of people don't like it because of the whole boarding situation, yeah. But I don't mind it. It's cheaper.
But you hate American.
Oh, they're horrible. They're the worst.
I never, outside of Spirit Airlines.
Them and Delta are the two worst.
I don't fly Spirit because I don't want to die. But outside of that, I go with where the best flight is and the cheapest flight.
Most people do. I mean, it's not like I, you know, like if American Airlines offered me the, like we're going to Vegas.
Sure.
And I look on there and it's like, oh, American Airlines. I'm like, oh, damn it. All right, fine.
Good.
But you know what I mean. Yeah. I just don't like them.
You ever too, where you're booking a flight and you see an airline that you don't recognize? That is a little creepy.
I had that the other day.
You're like, whoa.
I was going to ask you about this. So I had that the other day. We're going to Palm Springs in March.
Yeah.
And Alaska has some good flights down there. But then I was looking at something called Sun Country.
Yeah, that's the one I saw.
Have you flown them?
No, but I was.
So they're run by Alaska.
Oh, that's an Alaska thing.
But I was reading the reviews on them, and it's kind of a Spirit Airlines type of thing.
Yes. Same thing. I was looking at flights because we used to go somewhere in December, and I was just poking around at maybe some cheap destinations I was open to wherever to go. And I saw that, and that's the one. I was like, what is this?
I never heard of it.
And I did. I went and Googled the airline, and you're right. It is not well-reviewed at all.
Well, it's one of those. It's cheap. It's a budget airline.
Yeah,
it's
budget
like,
airline.
They make you pay for everything.
Everything. Even your carry-on bag.
That's right. It's 30 bucks.
$30.
And then your seat, depending on where you want to sit, is like... $8 to $40. So it's like, but by the, so they show these really low fares,
no
right?
Free, not even a free soda. If you want a Sprite or something, you're paying for that.
So they say, oh, it's going to cost you $106 round trip. And you're like, oh my God. And then by the time you get done checking out, it's $215.
Yeah, exactly. I never heard of it. I'm just always weirded out when I see new airlines. I don't like it. scares and frightens me.
Another good one is Hawaiian Airlines. They're really good.
Yeah, Hawaiian. I've never had a bad experience on Hawaiian Airlines.
All right, that's your In the News for December 6th. Hot 5 at 5 coming up next on The Fan.